Thank you, brother. All right, let's open our Bible, please, book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, find your place in the Word of God. We'll read in just a moment, then bring the message I believe the Lord would have us to in the service this evening. Again, I've enjoyed the testimonies, and I appreciate, you know, one of the things I really like, I sure am glad that God can use a variety of different personalities and different people. I remember years ago, there was a man at the camp meeting preached on the diversity of the disciples. Now, if you guys that don't know my pastor, Brother Sammy, this won't mean much to you, but when he got through preaching, he put me up to preach, and I said, I'm glad God still used diversity. Me and Brother Allen works together. I drink cream in my coffee. He don't. He don't eat instant potatoes, and I do. He don't drink 2% milk, and I do. He's spiritual, and I'm carnal. We still get along. But I'm glad, God, if God had been particular, I would have never got in on it. I'm glad God looked beyond my faults. Amen. I praise the Lord for it. Thank God for it. And all of us could look back, if you had known me then, I'm telling you, God's been so gracious to me. I praise the Lord for it. I live, Brother Sexton, far beyond any dreams I ever had as a young man of God's blessings on my life. I appreciate the wonderful meeting. It's just been a great time together. And I want you to pray God will help us tonight. Let's stand together if you would please. Our Bible open. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. I want to make this announcement. I don't think I've made it from the pulpit. But my latest book on sermon preparations is down in the basement. Several of the other my books are down there. And of course many of you had it. Somebody came to me and they told me they had it in the CD form or the cassette tape form. But they're now it's in printed form. And I want to say this. It's pretty rough. I got pretty rough them fellas in that. Hard knocks, you know, sometimes it takes hard knocks to straighten that crooked thing. So, but anyway, I encourage you get any of the books. All that goes to radio work. My radio jug sitting back in the back. We just took on that new station. Our radio bill is now $6,000 a month. And you pray God to bless it and use it the glory of Christ. Again, thank you, church, for everything you've done to make the meeting what it is. Thank you, missionaries, for what you've added to the meeting. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 1. The Bible said, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of ministering to the saints. This they did not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to unto us by the will of God. Keep your Bible open. Let's bow our heads and hearts for a moment of prayer, then the study from the Word of God and the message this evening. Our precious Heavenly Father, again, Lord, tonight in Jesus' name, at the throne of grace and mercy, I bow before you in prayer. Lord, I do want to say again, thank you for the joy of salvation. Thank you, Lord, that you let me be born in America. You let me hear the gospel. You saved me by your grace. You called me to preach. You put me in ministry. You have kept me there all these years. Lord, you've given me great joy and victory in knowing and serving you. And Lord, I acknowledge this evening that I owe it all to you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for every gesture of your grace, every measure of your mercy that's touched my life in my sojourn here on earth. Lord, I know much of it. I was not aware of it, and I'm still not even aware of all of it. But can I say with a songwriter, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Fathers, we rejoice in our blessings. I ask you, Lord God, that you'll translate that into a burden for those who do not have those blessings. Lord, I got out of bed this morning and every day of my life, knowing where the Word of God was, having a church to attend, a man to call my preacher, and Lord, knowing the truth that God loved me and Christ died for me. Lord, I've never bowed down to some idol. I've never prayed to some strange God because you let me hear the gospel. And I realize, dear Lord, the gospel is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Thank you, our Father. Now, Lord, you know what's on my heart tonight. Help me to honor you and help the church and bless every individual present. We'll praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Do keep your Bible open, please, for the study of the Word of God today. Thank you. Now, I want to do something a little bit different tonight. Not that much different, but I want to be very brief. Boy, this don't sound good, but let me do it. I want to be very brief in the Scriptures, and I want to spend some time sharing with you examples, in samples, as they're called here, of the grace of God. I thought about this afternoon in the motel, Brother Fraser, and all the preaching I've done on missions, I never thought about this. Paul, in this chapter, is making an example of the churches of Macedonia to the church at Corinth. Now, can I paraphrase that into Blount County language? We're still in Blount County. Can I put that in Blount County language? Paul is saying, let me tell you what God's done for them.
Yeah. Right.
There is a powerful effect in personal testimony.
Yes, sir.
Paul never got over telling what God did for him on the road to Damascus. Amen. And so I'm going to share some personal things with you tonight that have touched my life down through these years as just examples of the saints of God, and challenge you with them, the Lord willing, in the service this evening. Now, I want to just, if I'm going to use a title of thing tonight, I'd like to use this thought. Learning to let God give through you. Now, I want to say this. I did not say talking God into giving through you. I did not say convincing God to give to you. I said learning to let God give through you. And y'all already got quiet. You're looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. Learning to let God give through you. You see, there's a great day in my life when I learned you don't have to beg God for mission money. That is not to say there may not be some times that God will withhold the funds a little bit to get you to do some praying. I've noticed that in these years on the radio, it seemed like, boy, we got plenty of money coming for a while. I'm rejoicing. I get to not boasting on myself, but on the Lord, try to honor Him. All of a sudden, it's just like God kind of backs off on the finances, and I start hunting God. Matter of fact, Brother Harvey, it's that kind of that way living the life of an evangelist, isn't it? Amen. There are times of testing. But listen, when we get to the end of this journey, we get the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to see this. God had our best in mind all the time, even in the difficult times.
Yes,
and when God allows these times to come in our life, it's not because He's angry necessarily, not because He's upset, but because He wants to mold us and make us and take us to a step farther in trusting God, believing God, and honoring God.
Yes.
Now, you know the story. I'm not going into detail. You have the comparison here of the two sides, the churches of Macedonia, which is the church at Philippi and the church at Thessalonica at this time. And then you have a church at Corinth. There's probably a famine. There's a great trial of affliction there. Most of us believe it was a famine. And during this time of famine, the Corinthian church stopped giving the missions. And as a result of that, the church started drying up. No money. No money for missions. No money for they're paying their own bills. And they're sitting there just dying. Across the state line, the province line, in Macedonia, the churches at Philippi and the church at Macedonia, the church at Thessalonica, are both in the same trial of affliction. But instead of drying up and dying, they're shouting it out. Revival is coming. And it's like the Corinthian says to Paul, why is it? I like the way they say it in South Georgia. Why come? Why come we don't have any money? Why come we're done? Why come we're not seeing anything? And they're shouting it out. Paul said, let's see what they're doing. Let's see what they're doing. Let's see what God's blessing them. By the way, I am convinced, listen, I don't always get the blessings you do. You don't always get the ones I do. But my friend, God has my blessings. God's got your blessings. And God is no respecter person. God might choose to do it one way for me, another way for you. But God wants to supply the need of our missions money. God is honored. God is honored that I make my faith promise commitment. Trust in Him. Faith. I can't see it. I can't explain it. I don't know how. But faith, forsaking all, I trust Him. Faith is an act of obedience at what God says do. Fully convinced that where God guides, God will provide. God's not only honored in us making a faith promise commitment. God is able in providing that. He's honored in providing that. Brother Sexton, I love to hear church members get up and tell how God done when done it. But I thought about this today, preacher. If I like to hear it, how much more does God like to hear somebody stand up? Let me tell you what God done. Let me tell you what God done. If I've learned anything in this all these years, I'll be 73 tomorrow. If I've learned anything in all these years of life, I learned God is honored in anything that honors Him. God delights in doing it through us. So He gets the honor, the glory, and the praise for it. I'm afraid I'll kill this thing if I say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I don't know what any of you daddies do. Now please don't dial me. Have me to raise your hand, promise you're not going to die. All right, look at me just a moment. I have a wife. I have three children. Each of them have three spouses. That's eight. Mom and daddy, three children, three spouses. That's eight of us. Are you with me? Then I have five grandchildren. That's 13. I've got one. I don't know what to call him. There sure is not such a thing as a great son-in-law or a grandson-in-law. I got a young man that married my granddaughter. That makes 14 as my family circle right now. I delight in taking my family out to eat or going out to eat. And then right at the last moment, pick up the ticket, pull out my wallet, and provide it for my family. Now you tightwads don't like that, go ahead and starve, but I enjoy it. I do.
Yes, sir.
Most of the time, it's always true just about every time. Brother Sexton, one of my son or my sons-in-laws will pull out their wallet and say, well, I got the tip. We got the tip. But I delight in doing things for my family. And if I delight in doing things for my family, how much more does God like it when we who cannot let Him who can do something through us to the glory of God? You don't have to beg God to give you mission money. You believe God to get mission money. You let God do it through you. Now the amazing thing about these three, these people we're going to look at, I want to mention these, I've said these before, but number one, the Corinthians don't know how it happens. Number one, we learned, Brother Bud, they gave themselves first. It's not a problem to get Baptists to pull out their wallet or bring their checkbook and take out a piece of money and drop it in an offering plate. Nobody ever says amen when I say that, but it's still not a problem. It happens every Sunday. But most Baptists want to give right a long distance, you know. They would take the mission offering, say, Father, take this mission offering, multiply it to meet the need of missions around the world in Jesus' name, amen. And we wonder what God will do with that piece of money. But the Macedonians, instead of putting money in, they put themselves.
Yes.
Well, what happens if you put yourself in God's offering plate, put your hand on your head and say, Father, take this mission offering, multiply it to meet the need of missions around the world in Jesus' name.
Yes.
only time I've ever had it happen, I was preaching in Lansing, Michigan, and I get this part where I'm at right now, and at the close of the service, pastor, somebody had made that pastor a wooden offering plate. It must have been 20 inches flat across the bottom. You could stand in it with both feet, and he brought it out and set it right down there at the altar place. And I started to give the altar. He stopped me. He said, Brother Blue, wait a minute, I want to say a word. He said, church, don't bow at the altar tonight. You will mean business with God. Come and put yourself in the offering plate. Lay your hand on your head and say, Father, take this mission offering and use it to the glory of God. I wonder what God would do with you if he could get you in his mission offering. It does not mean you're going to the mission field. It doesn't mean you're not going. But they gave themselves first, and then they gave out of their poverty. If you wait till you think you can give, you probably will never give much. They gave out of their poverty. But now, verse number 3. They not only gave their person first, they gave out of their poverty. But here's what I want you to see. Verse number 3, the Bible said, for to their power, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Now look at me for a brief explanation. Most Baptists are not willing to give what they can. Here's some folks that's willing to give what they can't. I preached out in Texas in a couple of churches out there, and I found something out there preaching. Them fellows that preach missions out on that side of the country, they drive that home thing home to mean this: you do all you can, and then ask God what else you can do. Above your power. It's amazing how God can enable you to give what you can't give. I'm not fussing when I'm preaching when I say this, but most Baptists I preach to, and I do this, you know, about every week of my life, but most Baptists, number one, are not even willing to give what they can. Number two, if they're willing to give what they can, then they never think about trusting God for what they can't. You know, if it had been left up to Elkanah, there had never been a Samuel. Boy, that's a shame to we men, isn't it? I don't mean to be disrespectful when I make this statement, but Brother Branch, that little lady by the name of Hannah, believe that God would do what she couldn't do. So much, she made herself available to see what God would do with her. In our mission meeting a couple of weeks ago down at the church, I preached on bloody hands, burn works, and broken hearts at the judgment seat of Christ. I said one thing in those broken hearts is this: I believe at the judgment seat of Christ, are you listening? God will let us see our potential, what we could have done in comparison to what we did do. See, at the judgment seat of Christ, Pastor, I will not stand myself up beside of you, and I'll not stand up beside of Brother Frazier and any of these other people in here and compare what I've done to what you've done. God, some way, can I say, will open up to my understanding what I could have been. And when I'm standing there before him, I'll realize what I could have been in comparison to what I have been. If you're a farmer, I give this illustration. I'd hate to plant all my life with a 2-row planter when I had 10-row planter ability. You see, the problem is, most of us are willing. In fact, let me go this. We're satisfied doing what we can do. These men are my friends. Brother Sexton, you're my friend. Brother Frazier, you're my friend. Brother Harvey, you're my friend. And a lot of other friends, but these are men of some years of preaching that we preach together. It would be something to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and look at what I've done, and then look at what I could have done. I want God to take me beyond myself. Two things I'd like to say to you now. I want to live beyond myself. That I want to give beyond myself. If you wait till you see how you can afford to give more to missions, you never will give more. But I want to tell you, there's a God in heaven.
Yes, there is. Amen.
That can take the most dire circumstances.
Yes.
And I never said this before. And count them as though they didn't even exist.
Yep. Yep.
God, those Macedonians knew about the famine, but God didn't seem to know about it. There is no famine as far as God is concerned. God, you see, here's a lesson. Boy, the Lord's been trying to get me to learn this. There is a God in heaven. Can I get an amen?
Yes.
There's a world going to hell.
Yes.
That God has a son named Jesus that he gave for that world.
Yes.
The same God that gave his son said, can I say it in Tennessee language? All the money's mine. But Jordan, here's a rebuking question to me. What kind of God would it be that would give his son to die for a cause and set up in heaven and hoard the money needed for somebody to go tell it?
Yes.
I ask every missionary in this building tonight, what kind of God would it be that would send his son to die for those people that he's called you to go preach to and then not supply the fund?
Exactly right,
I ask every church member tonight, what kind of God would it be that would give his son to die and then command us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature and then leave it to our limitations to finance world missions? Pastor, be about like you starting a business and hiring 10 year olds and say, I'll see you in 10 years. How are we going to pay the bill? Oh, y'all can work it out. We've got to change our mindset. God wants the world to hear the gospel.
Yes, he does.
I'm speaking human language. I can't talk God's language, but I'm talking level we understand. God never gets out of bed. I know God don't go to bed, but don't mess up my illustration. God never gets out of bed and say, boy, thank God, half the world still not heard.
That's right. That's right.
I mentioned that last night, pray the Lord. I wonder, Brother Bud, if we could hear the heartbeat of God, the Son, now, after 2,000 years. I don't think, preacher, it would be, pray the Lord of the harvest, he'd send forth laborers' harvest. I'm talking about there'd be emphasis. It'd be heard in his voice. Pray! 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 Somebody pray that the Lord of the harvest send forth laborers' harvest. I'm saying you, God wants the world to hear the gospel.
Yes, yes.
You may not agree with me, but I want to say it anyway. I'm glad that, well, I believe when God sees a young family walk down the aisle and surrender to go to the mission field, God probably kicks up his heels and says, well, somebody else will hear the gospel. Somebody else will be saved. Somebody else. Find out. I love them. I died for them. You can talk about how wicked Nineveh was all you want to, but all Nineveh needed was a preacher. One preacher brought a revival, and the whole town is saved. It still works. It still works. It still works. But Brother Ballou, you don't understand. Well, I'm going to take a few minutes and try to help you understand what I'm talking about. I just started, my wife and our preacher just filled out our number 42. Faith, promise, commitment card. We finished 41 years and we started January, first Sunday in January, our 42nd year in the faith, promise, commitment. Starting 1974 through 2014, we finished 41 years now. The greatest thing after being saved and called to preach that's ever come into this preacher's life was when God introduced me to the fact of learning to give by faith. You see, preacher, I sat on the pew for years. That thing of giving, that's just for rich folks. And I wasn't rich. Me and my wife used to get all them special offers in the mail, you know. Boy, this big vacation, this big deal you could buy. And Brother Frazier, we'd get excited about it. And then down at the bottom, there's some small print. Can I tell you, I read the small print. And there is no catch. There is no hang up. There is no exclusion. There is no exemption. I'm saying God can and will do it through anybody that will believe God and let God have opportunity. God will prove He can give it through you. Preaching in Greenwood, Indiana one year. A meeting just the same nature of this, Wednesday through Sunday morning. And on a Sunday morning, I walked in the door and come in the down, and there's just two rows of pews. And I went over here, Brother Branson, and I sat on that front pew on that side. I usually park in one corner, front side, you know. And I sat over there. I'd sit over there that week. As I came in the back door, they handed me a church bulletin. I came on down, sat down. I pulled a church bulletin out, and I opened it up, and I started reading. Most church bulletins have about the same format. And so up on the left-hand corner is church name, address. The date was there, the preacher's name, the phone number, the schedule of services. And then it said the record speaks. Attendance last Sunday, first item on the agenda. Sunday school. Number of the buses. Number of the preaching service. Everything seemed normal to right there. I read that next line in bold print. The record speaks is in bold print. You know what the next time the next line said? Bold print. Tithes and tips. My first thought was, I wish I'd have thought of that. My second thought was, if I'd have thought of it, I'd been too big a coward to put it in print. Well, I had to teach Sunday school and then preach the 11 o'clock service. And so I just kind of chunked it back in my Bible. But when I left the service that day and I started back down Interstate 75 coming down through Louisville, and I came on down through Nashville into Chattanooga coming that direction and coming down the road, I got to thinking about tithes or tips. And you know, being an independent, judgmental, fundamental Baptist, I got to decide, do I like it or do I don't? Am I for it or get it? And I thought, before I get too critical, first of all, I need to be sure, what is a tip? Well, I could not go to Webster's dictionary. I went to Mr. Blue's dictionary. I usually agree with him. Mr. Blue said, a tip is a small piece of money that you leave lying on the table when you finish a meal just in case someone's watching. You don't want them to think you're a tightwad. I said, my soul, that sounds more like a Baptist offering all the time. But God cannot finance His work and does not finance His work because He didn't choose to with tips.
That's right.
I thought about this. Now, don't get mad at me. I feel too good for you to get mad. We can get mad later on, but don't get mad yet. When I was a boy, preacher, and you're not as old as I am, but when I was a boy, I remember gas being 19.9. I was too small to buy, but I bought gas 27.9 and 28 and 29.9. I bought gas myself. I came to Maryville, Tennessee in 1970. When was that? 71. Preached over at Mount Tabor, a meeting over there, and there's a gas world. I bought it for 22.9 Shell right here in your town. You could put $3 worth of gas in the car, and you could go out and go anywhere you want to and some place you wasn't supposed to, and have a date, have a good night out, and then swing back by the restaurant and buy a hamburger for a quarter, two of them for 50 cents. Drinks a dime a piece, so two drinks would make 70, and fries 15 for $1, plus about $3 tax. You could have a good date for $4. Brother Boland, you're old enough to identify this. You know what I did then? I've stopped a lot of times on my way to church and put a dollar's worth of gas in my car. And I went on to church and put a dollar in the offering plate. You're afraid I'm laying a trap, aren't you? I'm not. I'm just preaching. I got to thinking about what I was studying about this. How long has it been since you put a dollar's worth of gas in your car? even as gas has gone down, and thank God it has gone down as cheap as it is, I double dog dare you go somewhere where they know you and buy $1 worth of gas. Well, I'm one to, you know, I take my own challenge, so I decide I'm going to do it. And every time I do it, Brother Chad, every time I do it, I'm telling you, it'd get past a dollar before I could stop. $1.12, $1.26. I remember one time I went on a wild trip. I flew to Miami, preached a meeting there. Then I flew over to Jamaica, preached a meeting there. Flew back into Miami, rented a car, drove across the east coast of Florida and preached a meeting there. And on Sunday night after church, I got to drive back over and leave the car, you know, early Monday morning, fly back into Atlanta from Tampa. And, you know, kind of a wild trip. And I was coming back across the middle Florida from east to west. And I thought, Brother John, I thought, this is my chance. I'm down here in Florida. Nobody knows me. I'm going to buy $1 worth of gas. I think that's the night it hit $1.26. You know, it done went over. I eased it on up to $2, and I pulled out $2. And I'm telling you, I was just plumb proud of myself, Brother Cheryl. And I start in there. What to do with my piece of money? I started in there with my $2 bills in my hand. I started in there with $2 bills in my hand. And Brother Frazier, here's what the personnel that worked there was kind of caged in. You know, you've been in places where they got them in a little cage at night, you know, and they kind of caged in. And boy, I come in that front door, and it's about as far as me, that rail over there. I come in that front door with my $2 in my pocket, in my hand, eyes all smiles, and I started over that way, and I noticed the closer I got to that person over there, my head started dropping down. I gave that $10 to that man, and you know what he said to me? $2? Man, you ain't going far. I said, rented car, got to get back to airport, it's all I need, thank you, and walked on out. But I wonder how many times God has watched us drop our $2 in the offering plate. And God said from glory, man, you're not going far. You say, preacher, gas went up. So did missions. God said, for to their power, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. If you will accept the status quo, if you'll accept things as they are with your Christian faith, you'll never go any further. If you operate on the philosophy, I'm doing all I can do, that's all you'll ever do. But I make reference to Hannah again. Thank God Hannah knew what to do about what she couldn't do anything about. She went to him that could. And I want to tell you, you might say, Brother Blue, but I live on fixed income. Who fixed it? And I'm not making fun of those senior saints that live on it. I'm not making fun at all. But, you know, did you ever try to put fixed income in the Bible? Now the just shall live by fixed income. Without fixed income, it's impossible, please God. Whatsoever's not a fixed income is sin. You say, preacher, can God really take me beyond myself? Can God really enable me to do not just to my power, but beyond my ability? I want to make this statement. I hope you talk about me and it for the next 4 months. I learned this, Brother Frazier, and I know I'm right. The will of God for our life is something beyond our ability to do. If we can do it, we wouldn't have to pray. We wouldn't need God. But section, what I like about serving God, God demands out of me what I can't do, then enables me to do it. Blesses me just like I did, and He done it all. Yeah. Amen. That's the best for faith promise. God says give more than you think He can give, and you obey God, and God supplies it and blesses you just like you did it yourself.
Yes, glory. Well, God's way. Hallelujah.
How can God do it? He's God. He can do it any way He wants to. I want to throw these three things out real quick, and I'll be through. God can do it through an increase of wages. Don't tell me God's not in control of your wages. I could write a book. I have jotted down five different stories, true stories. And by the way, none of the stories I'm going to tell tonight, none of them I've read out of a book. You learn to give and live by faith. God will give you your own story to tell. Nothing wrong with using some illustration, but God will give you your own story to tell. You've heard me tell this. I'll be brief today. I drove to the state of Arkansas to preach a mission meeting. And in that mission meeting, a young couple, he's about 24, he and her about 24 years old, got a little boy about 3, and got a girl who's maybe a year and a half. They hear me preach on faith, promise giving, never heard it before. And they went home on Wednesday night. I'd covered it Wednesday night. It was a Monday night through Wednesday night meeting. And they went home and put the children to bed, and they started a husband-wife conversation. You've been praying about what you ought to give? You've been praying about faith promise? Yes, have you? Was God laid anything on your heart? Yes, is it you? And they got so excited, Brother Andrew, that they turned their back on each other and took a pencil and piece of paper and wrote it down. Turned around and laid a piece of paper back on the table, and both of them had written down $20 a week. Brother Allen went to work the next morning. Boss man called him in and said, Allen, I've been observing your work, your attitude. You'll notice when you get your paycheck today, I've given you a raise of 50 cents an hour, effective on today's payday. He's not even filled out the card yet. Can anybody do any math? 50 cents an hour, 40 hours a week? Help me out. You say coincidence. Depends on whether you're saved or lost. Sinners believe in good luck. Christians believe in a good Lord. I need to tell this for the young people's sake. Some of you would know this young lady if I were to call her name. I'm not going to call her because I'm being recorded. Young lady in our church, grew up in our church, 16 years old. Her daddy and mother gave her an allowance. She went to a Christian school. Her daddy and mother gave her an allowance of $10 a week. This has been 10, 15 years ago, 15 years ago, I guess. $10 a week. But section, she tithed out of it. She'd been taught tithing, so that makes she's got 9. She gave a dollar a week to missions. That means she had $8 to buy her lunch and live on. And then in one mission conference, God moved on her heart and said, I want you to give 5 to missions instead of 1. She filled out a faith promise card and put $5 a week. Now then, she's going to tithe a dollar. She's going to give $5 a week out of that 10 to missions. And she's got $4 left for her lunch for the 5 days. To hear her tell it later, she said, I thought it wasn't no big deal. If God didn't do something, I could snack each day for lunch, and I could make it. But God ain't never put His children on ration for very long when you obey God. About 3 weeks went by, and her mother got a phone call. Her mother had a little home, you know, inside her home nursery business. She kept 6 or 8 kids. She kept all that the state law, you know, they said per square foot, you got to have so much. So Brother Fraser, she was full. And a woman called her and she said, I need you to take my baby, 16 months old. And she said, I can't, I'm full. And the woman said, oh. She said, all I need is somebody that can keep her. My husband works, I work days, my husband works nights, and there's about an hour and a half space between him getting off, or me getting off, and him going to work. He goes to work about 3, I get home about 5. And if I had a teenage girl that could just look after my baby, 16 months old, wouldn't be no problem changing a diaper, I'd give her $25 a week. Do I have to finish that story? Can y'all finish that story without me taking time? She got the job! Started tithing now, $2.50 a week. 5 missions, and she got $17.50 left, if my math is right. You say, I don't believe that. I can't help you. This is for believers only. God not only can do it through increase of wages, and numbers of other stories I could have. God could do it through saving you some money. You've heard me tell the story of the Wilson couple who, he lost his spouse, she lost her spouse. They got together and struck a new match. He didn't like her church, she didn't like his, so they joined our church. I always felt like I was the compromise. I never got enough nerve to ask this fellow, Brother Harvey, but I've always believed he graduated from college with a degree in grouch. I don't believe you can be naturally born that grouchy. But Jordan, I wondered for years how in the world he conned that poor old woman into marrying him. And then I read where God put Adam to sleep and gave him a wife. I believe I know some women that's asleep when they got their husbands. First faith promise, $10 a month. They made it on Sunday morning. Next Sunday, 7 days. Wednesday night, 10 days gone by. He meets me. He's one of them guys that get right in your face and spit in your face while he's talking to you, you know. He said, "You remember that faith promise?" I said, "Yeah, I thought you were going to ask me to pay it." I said, "Yeah, I remember that." And then he said, "You remember that big old German shepherd dog we had? I want to say, Paul, I bear in my body the marks of that dog. I remember that dog well. He never bit me, just made me hurt myself getting in the car too fast." And to make this story short, the dog went to wherever mean dogs go. He said, "I was grieved over it. And then I remembered my wife is spending $2.50 a week for dog food." Can anybody do math? Yeah. Faith promised $10 a month, $2.50 for dog food. God enabled. No, these missionaries in the Philippines need something to eat. Don't kill them all right now. Somebody said those little wiener dogs were Weight Watchers meals in the Philippines. But God did it. I got to give you these. These are new ones, Brother Sexton. Nobody's heard these. Y'all not heard these. These are new ones. A year and a half ago, my son-in-law went to Crossville, Tennessee. He and my daughter. He's pastor of the church up there. We scheduled a mission meeting. And I don't think they'd ever had a faith promise conference. They'd had some mission meeting, but I don't think they ever had a faith promise conference. And so I knew when I went, Brother Branch, I knew it was kindergarten, just basic. And I did. And during that meeting, I went over 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse number 13. And I majored on that word experiment. Why about the experiment of this administration? And God's amazing. He tells us to do it, then turns around and tells us, try and see if it works. Yep. You don't believe it works? Just try. He knows our frame. Yeah. Sitting in that meeting was a young man and his wife who is a Venetian blind. I want to say a blind man, but a Venetian blind. Owns a Venetian blind business. And God spoke to his heart. He took the challenge. He and his wife talked about it. Then they talked to Pastor Kearns about it that day at the close of the service. And the man, Brother Frazier, a man of men as men ought to be. And he told Brother Kearns, he said, "I put it down where if I have to, I can pay it. It'll be hard, but I'll take care of it. I give you my word, I'm going to take care of it, God willing. But I'm going to see if God will do something." That Sunday, preacher, by Tuesday evening, he got a call from the Department of Education in that county. And they had lost the contract with a person that took care of the blinds at some of the schools right around this house there. And they want to know if he would take that job of keeping up the Venetian blinds in the school building. And he said, "Well, I don't know. I'd be glad to talk with you." He went over there. And to make the long story short, they said, "We got a contract for $10,000 for the year. If you want to sign it for 12 months. Maintenance to these." Can anybody do math? $300 a month. Missions, $3,600 a year, $10,000 a year, just almost triple.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Can you imagine somebody coming in the next Sunday after the first introduction of faith promise and telling that story? That ain't all happened. You've been up there, Brother Harvey. You've probably been up there too, Brother Frazier. But listen, it didn't all happen. I'm new. I don't know who belongs and who don't. And it's three rows of pews like this. I believe I'm right. I believe it's three. Yeah, I know the three rows of pews. I think they're anyway. But anyway, back here on the left, they recognize some visitors. Well, to me, you know, everybody could be a visitor. I know who's a member and who's not. But what I didn't know was, brother, but nobody knew who them visitors was. The story was, preacher, they wound up in the wrong church. They was meeting some friends. They were out of town meeting some friends at the church, at their friend's church, and they got in the wrong church. In the Sunday school hour, I told, as I normally do on giving to missions, and later they would make this statement, he had such passion for missions, and the church was so received that we decided not to leave. When it come time to fill out the, pass out the cards and fill them out, he took one and filled it out for $50 a month. The next Sunday, while they're telling this other story, they give Clint a letter, and here's her letter. It said, we wound up in the wrong church. The wrong preacher. That was in earth. But it turned out it was the right church. And we watched God move among the people, and we just got involved ourselves, made a commitment for $50 a month, and here's our check for $300 to pay it for the year.
Glory.
He done it before, he can do it some more. Again, I don't want to call a name. This happened some years ago. We had a young man in our church, a young man in our community, got saved and come to our church. That had five, he was in the business world, the secular world, the social world out there. Living a big life beyond his wages. But Sexton, he had five or six credit cards maxed out. Nearly $40,000 unsecured debts. Single young man. Just got saved. He said, I knew God wanted me to pay my bills. And I started asking God to help me do it. And he said, I walked into Concord Baptist Church and Brother Blue got up there and started preaching on giving. And he said, the Holy Ghost said, if you'll listen what that man says and do what he's telling you, you'll get out of debt. And he started tithing, started giving the Faith Promise missions, and in 5 years, he didn't beat any of the people he owed. He got some deduction on some of them, but he cleared her out, Brother Frazier. You probably know who I'm talking about. One of the evangelists out of our church, you fellas know him, I just don't want to call names. Goes no telling where the recording will go. I'm telling you, you don't get ahead financially getting behind with God.
Amen.
But you obey God, and God's able to pay your bills. I tell this and I'm through, preacher. We had a young man in our church, Jarinder, preach nearly a year ago now. Doing a good job. And I'm telling you, when he surrendered to preach, it just almost like he got saved again. It just changed his whole life. He just started living like a preacher. I'm talking about in 2 weeks, it changed from just one of the boys on the pew to, I mean, a man of God walking around there. And he started going after sinners. And if you go to our church, sitting back here on this side, two-thirds of the way back, there may be a dozen people back there on a Sunday morning that he is instrumental in getting them in. He brought a young couple in there. The young man got saved. His wife got saved. And just 2 weeks ago, Brother Frazier, they sat through their first Faith Promise Missions meeting. Now, I don't know about tithing prior to that meeting. I don't know about his tithing record. I don't know. It's not been my business. I don't know. But I do know, preacher, with that Faith Promise, I always preach tithing. And the next Sunday morning, he and his wife even talked about it. Are we going to give her tithe and give her missions? Or are we going to? And anyway, God won out. They come to church, put their tithe in, put their faith promise in. And he went to work on Monday morning, and there was some type of a suggestion deal to, you know, help better some working situations. He filled out one, and God gave him $100 gift from the company. More than the tithe and missions together was. You say, you think God will do that? I know He does. He does it all the time. He may not do it every week for you, but I'm telling you, He knows how to bait you on in and let you see what He can do in an unexplainable manner. You say, Brother Blue, would God do it for me? Can I give you a Bible message to close? Try it and see. Find out, listen, don't just write down something off the top of your head. Get serious with God, what God wants to do through you. And whatever it is, you put it down and start. And watch God prove His spoon's bigger than your shovel. Would you stand with me, please, Brother Alan? Come on. Thank you, dear Lord, for your direction in the service tonight. Thank you for the touch of God. Lord, I want to thank you, Father, for the joy, the thrill that it's been these 42 years. I haven't missed a meal. I haven't missed a bill. 41 years gone by, but Lord, I've watched you take care of my needs. I've watched the Lord provide mission money. Then Lord, later on, because of my obedience and faith promise giving to missions, I watched you take on a radio ministry. And Lord, I've watched you for the last years over $5,000 a month. Month after month. Now we're $6,000. I just want to lift my hands and say, thank you, Lord. You let me get in on learning to let God give through me. Forgive me when I failed you. And dear Lord, I pray tonight, you know my heart, please help me to take no glory for what you've done. It's your glory. It's your honor. Somehow or other, I pray the Spirit of God will put a great challenge in the heart of some people here tonight to make that step of faith and see what you'll do for them. Have your way. We'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed and music's playing, the altar's open. If you need to come, you be obedient to God. Just step out. Come on, Pastor. Be obedient to God.